the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 30th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property on your radio and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. Without further ado, Alex Newman with the John Birch Society is with us. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir. All right, we'll work on grabbing Alex here in just a second. In the meantime, though, I was covering last hour this coronavirus discussion, ladies and gentlemen, and it has become just too egregious, too dishonest to even deal with, folks. All right, Joe Biden right now saying states should pause reopening, reinstate mask mandates. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky warning of impending doom. Joe Biden, I guess if you really believe in the elections, Biden said that he shares Walensky's pending doom on the pandemic. Have you ever heard of a president being so negative? The Wall Street Journal now, though, reporting earlier this month that the Chinese government controlled the World Health Organization investigation into the coronavirus, literally controlling who was on the team and what they were allowed to see. The World Health Organization also allowed Chinese officials to review the report and make changes. Now, Peter Daszak also told Stahl that it wasn't the World Health Organization's team. It wasn't the team's job to find out whether the Chinese government would cover up the coronavirus. So what's the point of them even being there, I would ask? But it gets worse. We just go into this thing and find out they're lying all the way around. Alex Newman, John Birch Society, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam. It's great to be with you.
All right, what do you think about this? Now we literally have the WHO, and you literally have advisors. You've got Peter, what's his name, Daszak. And then you've got this Jamie advisor literally saying the whole WHO investigation with China is nothing but a sham. And they're saying it on 60 Minutes and reporting it in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, and you know, I wish more people would read The New American, because people would have known years ago that this was the case. In fact, I think we broke the story in the United States. The guy who's running the criminal World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus. I mean, you don't even have to dig deep into his background to figure out something is very, very wrong with this guy. First of all, he was put into power with the backing of the Communist Chinese Party. That was his primary backer. That's the reason he's running this agency. Second of all, before becoming the head of the World Health Organization, he was the foreign minister, the right-hand man for a brutal, mass-murdering communist dictator. And as foreign minister, he was in charge of chasing down dissidents that had fled overseas, bringing them back for torture. And get this, how did he end up as foreign minister for a brutal, mass-murdering communist dictator? Well, there's some interesting background there. Turns out he was on the Politburo of the Tigray People's Liberation Front, which just so happens to be a designated terrorist organization, a Marxist group that is dedicated to the extermination of certain people groups within Ethiopia, including the Amhara people. And so during his stint as health minister, and by the way, he's not an actual medical doctor, he's got a PhD, but during his stint as health minister, he worked hard to try to reduce the number of Amharas in Ethiopia. So is anybody surprised that this crooked organization run by an actual communist terrorist is helping the mass-murdering communist gangsters running communist China to cover up their bioweapon attack on the world? These dots were so easy to connect years ago, and it seems like only now the fake media is waking up. The Wall Street Journal and 60 Minutes just did a big report on it. And so now you got to wonder, what's their motive for telling us the truth now? Why do they hide the truth from us for over a year, and then now suddenly they reveal it? So something very fishy is going on, Sam.
It's hard to even know how to handle this, because what they're doing is they're shutting us down, claiming that we're engaging in fake news, things that can harm the American people. The bottom line, though, is these reports cannot be trusted at all. But yet they double down in defense of these. For example, the WHO team only spent 3 hours at the lab, and they were there. The investigators didn't even ask for any evidence. They didn't ask to speak to any personnel. That's because of the ground rules that China set with the World Health Organization. And they literally, this whole thing, and then we talk about, hey, the origins of the coronavirus are different than we've been told, and they say, you're engaging in fake news. Shut up. Sit down. We've got a global problem here.
Yeah. YouTube has said that anything that goes against World Health Organization guidelines will be removed. And I'll tell you, they are enforcing it like crazy. We've put up videos with some of the most prestigious and highly educated doctors on planet Earth. Who have something different to say about the coronavirus and the vaccines than the World Health Organization, and they have been shut down. They've been removed. We've had two strikes on our channel now for these types of things. And I think the real way to deal with this is exactly what President Trump did, Sam. Defund it, delegitimize it, stop giving them hard-earned American taxpayer money, and throw the thing on the ash heap of history. It's a joke.
In fact, you're going to be going to Red Pill Expo in June in South Dakota. And from what I understand, there's a preview that just got released of your presentation. Got released by Ed Griffin and others. If people are watching that channel, they can watch that video. But it's from Alex Newman. And this is serious as well, because really, you're highlighting the dark side of the COVID pandemic. This thing is planned, in addition to being a big fraud, right?
Yes, it was. It absolutely was. And we have so much evidence on this front, Sam. It's incredible. You can go back over 10 years, and the Rockefeller Foundation put out a report. I encourage everybody to get a copy of this report themselves. And they have four scenarios in there on how the Rockefeller Foundation believed the New World Order could advance. And as you read it, there's one scenario in particular that really jumps out at you. It's called lockstep. And I encourage people to go get this report. It's like reading the news today. A virus comes out of communist China. The Chi Coms use brutal tyranny to suppress it. Americans complain. They're like, hey, we have rights. You can't do that. And so the report argues that China did a phenomenal job, but that governments around the world are going to have to take authoritarian measures to deal with this. They're going to have to force people to put face diapers on. They're going to have to require temperature checks before you can go into buildings. They're going to have to require vaccines. They're going to have to shut down businesses. And then the real kicker, and I'll dig into this more in my talk at the Red Pill Expo in South Dakota coming up here soon, they actually say in the report that even after the pandemic faded, the authoritarian measures not only stuck, they intensified. So anybody who thinks, oh, yeah, once everybody goes and gets their vaccine, everything's going to get back to normal, oh, no. You're not understanding how this goes. They are not going to give up all this power that they have usurped unless we force them to.
Now, here's the problem. They're literally beating people up and arresting people. Richard Mack went to an event in Hawaii where they were protesting mask mandates, and most of the people there, 400 to 600 people, were not masked. And, it got kind of crazy. The cops showed up. The cops started getting agitated. As Richard Mack puts it, you know what? They came to ride in the show, and by golly, they were going to ride. And so Richard Mack finally said, I'm leaving because this is going to get out of hand. Richard Mack went back to his hotel. It got out of hand. They threw a lady down and arrested her. She had a couple of little teeny children with her, and the cops got out of control. Richard Mack talked to the police later and said, hey, you guys are out of line here and stuff like that. And they just said, hey, this is what we're doing. You can't violate the law. Richard tried to say, hey, what law? There's no legislative law here. Yeah, but the governor said so. And now the debate's on about who's got authority and who's got control, who's rogue agent in government versus who's doing what's right. And the end of the day now, we see stories where they say in Hawaii, for instance, they're literally hiring a team of ex-police officers, of retired police officers, etc., to crack down on anybody not wearing a mask, anybody not willing to follow the distancing guidelines, and they're going to literally enforce this. Now, if you think what's going on in Hawaii is bad, you look at California. If you think California is bad, you look at New York. These lead states are setting the next narrative, aren't they, Alex?
Yes, they are. And, you know, I'm incredibly blessed to be in the great state of Florida. Our governor has said almost from the beginning, we're not going to be doing this tyranny under the guise of fighting the virus. And Florida's doing pretty darn well, despite having, I think, the second oldest population in the country. We're doing very well, including better than most of these states that have used totalitarianism. And there's even a better example. My wife and I lived most of the last decade in Sweden. She's from there. Ironically, we fled from Sweden to get away from the tyranny. They, you know, banned homeschooling and other idiotic things like that. So we fled from Sweden and sold our house to try to get away from this totalitarianism. Well, the pandemic hits, and suddenly the totalitarianism comes to America. And the Swedes did absolutely nothing. In fact, their government told them not to put on face diapers because it was dangerous for their health. They did no lockdowns. They didn't shut the schools. They didn't do anything, not for one single day. No social distancing. I call it anti-social distancing. Nothing. And if you look at the data from Sweden, the Swedes did significantly better than we did here in the United States.
And now Joe Biden is literally saying, hey, let's pause reopening. Let's mandate masks. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director, and Joe Biden are both just panicking in fear, they claim, about the pending doom regarding the pandemic. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Back to the Alive, ladies and gentlemen, Alex Newman with me. He put together an incredible, I don't know what you call it, a precursor video. It is available at redpillexpo.com. And Alex Newman's an author and a journalist, and he's really speaking out about the very dark side of the COVID pandemic. Okay, folks, this was planned. And the proof in the pudding is you see the way certain countries respond, and you begin to look at the Wall Street Journal even admitting the truth, that, hey, this is a sham. The Chinese controlled the investigation. Okay, Leslie Stahl of 60 Minutes speaking out. Jamie Metzl speaking out. Peter Daszak speaking out. They're not as bold as others, but even CBS News veteran Leslie Stahl noted that the WHO team, the World Health Organization team, only spent 3 hours at the lab. And while they were there, said Jamie Metzl, the investigators didn't even demand access to the records and samples and keep Personnel. And then Leslie said that's because of the ground rules, the deal they made with China. And now we get more and more information that this was intentionally planned. And you see the evidence everywhere. They even say the UN admits that China even has veto power of who even attended the meeting or who was even on the team. On top of that, they said in most instances, China would do the primary investigation and then just share its findings with international experts. This is hard to even respond to, Alex.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And again, this should have been clear from the beginning. You know, the World Health Organization has a long history of serving the interests of globalism and tyranny. And there's a very, very dark history there. I'll give you an example. In 2014, they were caught in Kenya waging what they claimed was a tetanus vaccination program, but that was later exposed as a covert sterilization program. And you don't have to believe me. The Kenya Catholic Doctors Association got very suspicious about this vaccine program because they were only vaccinating women and girls of childbearing age. So they got some samples. I think they got 7 samples, and they sent them to laboratories all over the world. And every single one came back laced with HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin, a hormone that is critical for women's bodies as they carry a pregnancy. And so what was happening is these vaccines / sterilizing agents were being injected into these girls and women, and their body would start treating this critical hormone as an invader. And so they would not be able to carry a pregnancy to term. And then the Kenya Catholic bishops, every single bishop in the nation of Kenya, signed a statement saying, look, these girls, you need to stop taking these vaccines. They're not actually vaccines. This is a covert sterilization program, just like what we saw in the Philippines, just like what we saw in Nicaragua, just like what we saw in Mexico. So you dig back into the World Health Organization's history, you find out that in the 60s, they were using Rockefeller grants to try to come up with fertility management vaccines. They succeeded in the 1990s using exactly the mechanism just described. So the World Health Organization needs to be understood as the global health ministry or the global Department of Health in waiting, and it's part of this agenda to move us toward a global totalitarian fascistic system. Bill Gates is, of course, one of the leading people here. And if you look at the run-up to the pandemic, you'll find that all these suspicious characters associated with the World Health Organization, like Bill Gates, right, the second biggest funder of the World Health Organization after the U.S. government, he funded just 1 year, less than 1 year, in October of 2019, just a few months before COVID was first detected, preparing and pandemic exercise at the Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins University, in cooperation with the World Economic Forum, which incidentally is now using the COVID pandemic to push the Great Reset. And I encourage people to go watch the 8 hours of footage from this exercise. It was basically like a fire drill for a novel coronavirus. And it is what they say in the exercise, a novel coronavirus coming out of China that would require tyranny to save us from. And if you look at the kind of tyranny they envision, it's exactly what we're seeing now. We're going to put the WHO in charge. We are going to have to lock down. We're going to have to censor the internet. In fact, they even talk about criminalizing statements that contradict the official narrative on this hoax, because they know that if people can speak out, if people can speak freely, the whole thing falls apart. So we're in very, very dangerous territory with this, Sam. Trump had it right when he got us out of the WHO and cut their funding to zero. We need to do that again, but unfortunately, thanks to the very dubious 2020 election, you know, we're now in a situation where we have allies of this agenda in the White House and running our Congress.
It's hard to know how to respond to this. I think we need to speak out boldly, nobly, and independently. I think we need to engage in civil disobedience and say, I'm just not wearing a mask. If they kick us out of restaurants and out of stores, they have the right with their private property to do this, even though I think they're duped. But we need to simply say, I guess I won't be shopping here or eating here. We need to start to push back like nobody's business. We don't want to be contrarians, but at the same time, we have a duty. And the lies being told from the WHO and China and the dereliction of duty by these scientists to stand against these lies and to allow these social media organizations or whatever you want to call it, big tech or whatever else, to double down and simply shut us down because we're telling the truth on this thing, at some point we better push back or else, you know what? At some point it's going to be too late. They're going to lock down too many things, and pushback's going to be futile. I think we have a window of opportunity is the point I'm making, Alex.
Yep, I agree with you entirely, Sam. And, you know, as for me and my family, we have completely ignored all of the tyranny from the beginning. We've lived life exactly as normal. We haven't changed one iota. The only time I've put on a face diaper is to get on an airplane because I don't want to be banned forever from flying. It's the only time I've put on a face diaper, and I've been flying as little as possible. If I can drive, I will. If I can skip the event, I will. I'm tired of these airlines. But they say, you know what, we don't care what you think because we'll go to Congress and get your money. But we absolutely must speak out. We absolutely must obey these ungodly, these tyrannical, these lawless executive decrees that are coming down. And, you know, again, I'm very blessed. I live in a city and a county and a state where our leaders at every level have said, hey, we're not doing that dumb stuff. You do your business. Don't wear a face diaper. Do wear a face diaper. We don't care. So I'm very blessed here. It's not as difficult for me as it is for people in other parts of the country. I think there's one more thing I would add to that, Sam, and that is we need our local and our county and our state officials to resist this tyranny. If your governor imposes an idiotic mask mandate, go to your county commission and tell them to pass a resolution saying that there is no mask mandate in our county. If your governor tries to shut down your businesses, go to your county commission and your sheriff and make sure they understand that these are illegitimate usurpations and that they must not be enforced in our county. If Biden tries to sign some dumb executive order that has no basis in law or the Constitution mandating this, that, or the other, go to your governor, you go to your state legislature, you say, we must resist this. States are doing it already. They're doing it on these executive orders having to do with energy and oil. They're doing it on the proposed gun control that's making its way through Congress. We need a renaissance of the very American principle of nullification. That's what Madison and Jefferson said was the rightful remedy to these kinds of abuses coming from the federal level. And at the state level, our cities and counties and our sheriffs can do it as well. We need to resist this stuff. We need to do it in a proper and lawful manner. And we've got to do it now because you're right, Sam. If we allow this to continue, if we don't speak out now, that window is going to close and our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren are going to suffer horrific consequences as a result.
In Oregon, literally, ladies and gentlemen, they are begging for permission to create a permanent mask mandate. And the logic is that it's so bad and needs to be enacted for so long. We don't know how long, but for so long to where what they say is what they'll do is they'll remove the temporary but somewhat permanent ban if warranted at some point. They're literally saying that kind of stuff in the state of Oregon right now. In New York, they're literally creating a vaccine passport. Now, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to ban vaccine passports through executive order. Now, I'm not really for executive orders. We need a legislative body to do this, but short-term in an emergency scenario, these governors at least need to stand up somewhere. Now, I don't like the executive order idea because I believe it's the wrong branch of government, but temporarily in an emergency, Ron's saying, I'm setting the standard here, and you're not doing that while my legislative body gets it their act together to make sure that it's outlawed in my state. And if you look at Richard Mack's case, Sheriff Richard Mack's case, hey, the states don't have to do what the feds say at all. There's a dual sovereignty reality regarding jurisdiction, et cetera, which will be talked about at the Red Pill Expo as well coming up. What do you think of that, though? I don't like the executive orders, but I like the general direction. And I think we just need to basically say in an emergency, Ron can do this. But longer term, it must be a legislative body that rejects the federal government on this. We need to nullify and we need to do it now, but we need to do it through the proper separation of powers. When we get back, let's have Alex Newman respond to that. Alex Newman writes for the John Birch Society. He's also does his own video presentations, just incredible stuff. The latest one, the very dark side of the COVID plandemic. It's been planned on purpose, folks. Alex Newman in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The first witness in Derek Chauvin's murder trial, Jenna Scurry, a 911 dispatcher, testified Monday that she alerted a police supervisor May 25th after she watched Minneapolis police officers pin George Floyd to the ground in a security video feed. The Biden administration has moved away from sending families back across the border using the COVID-19 emergency measure called Title 42. Now the vast majority, up to 85% of family units who are apprehended by Border Patrol after crossing the border illegally, are quickly released into the United States. That's according to a senior Border Patrol officer during a March 26 press call. Governor Andrew Cuomo is facing new sexual harassment allegations, this time from a woman who claims the governor kissed her without her consent. It's the ninth complaint. 55-year-old Sherry Ville claims Cuomo kissed her when he came to her house to assess flood damage in 2017. USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allyn for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals, bail out broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce Silver Eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Allyn Root Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
With the threat of COVID-19 and a major uptick in violence across American cities, how does the average person feel about getting back into public? Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau has more.
Americans are increasingly becoming more comfortable in public spaces and traveling, according to a recent poll by Civic Science. The survey found that 35% of adult Americans are not at all concerned with being in public spaces, while 43% are somewhat concerned and 22% are still very concerned. Additionally, 55% of Americans felt comfortable going out to eat, and now 39% say they felt comfortable enough to go on a vacation.
President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump launched a new website to further their America First brand. On Monday, the 45th President and First Lady introduced the new site, 45office.com. The couple said the website is an outlet for supporters to reach out to them directly with thoughts and requests and greetings. USA Radio News.
All right, so Alex Newman, we know that there's people in bed with global communist government that want to promote this pandemic, and they want to use it for control purposes to create a global new world order. Their goal is to create a, quote, financial and all things reset, a, quote, biblical jubilee, but in this case, driven by Satan, not driven by debt forgiveness, but driven by a desire to force us into a flat-out tyranny. And it's the only way they can take down America and the only way they can push their global agenda. But some people are speaking out. For example, Donald Trump last summer and a whole team of experts basically said, hey, you know what? This is a sham. And then everybody ignored it and laughed at him and mocked the president of the United States. Now Deborah Birx and Fauci are speaking out saying, hey, everybody's dying. Only the first 100,000 had to die, but everybody else didn't. It was just because of Donald and his bad watch. Now Donald firing back. Forget the political theater on this thing. But is Ron DeSantis and his former president, Donald J. Trump, are they truth tellers on this? Or are they playing kind of a good guy, bad guy, or good cop, bad cop kind of scenario? And neither side's statements really matter as they push us into this.
Yeah, you know, I've been very pleased with our governor, Ron DeSantis. I mean, there are political realities that he needs to consider, which I think is, you know, in a way unfortunate. If I had been Donald Trump, if I had been Ron DeSantis, I would have spoken out much more clearly and much more forcefully in pushing back on the narrative. Ron DeSantis tried
and sooner, right?
So did Donald Trump. Excuse me?
Yeah, and sooner you would have spoke up because they're doing it. But, man, we're a year into this sucker. Come on.
Yep, Exactly. And they really should have tried to shift the narrative, because they allowed the totalitarians to get control of the narrative. They allowed the totalitarians to panic. You know, not everybody, but at least a good percentage of the population of the United States. Whereas if they had taken charge of the narrative right at the beginning and said, look, the fear porn peddlers, they have tyranny in mind. They're not really after your health. We need to calm down and look at this situation objectively. The virus is, for the overwhelming majority of people, is actually going to be less dangerous than the flu, right? If you're a child, you're going to be less likely to die from COVID than you are to be struck and killed by lightning, right? So we need to calm down. We need to look at this objectively. We need to stop listening to these fear peddlers. And, you know, Trump had it within his authority to fire a bunch of these people. I would have gotten rid of Fauci faster than you could say mini Hitler, and said, you know, that's enough. You're out of here. Quit.
And that's what makes me wonder. That's what makes me wonder if Trump is really part of this. He's got kind of a contrarian narrative to make us feel like someone's advocating for our side. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of talk from Donald, the former president, but there's not really a lot of action. I would have fired a lot of these people a long time ago when he's faced with this Fauci slash Deborah Birx discussion where they're saying everybody died on Donald's watch. Donald fires back and says, I would have fired these clowns a long time ago, but man, they've been in government so long, they're kind of like a bad habit. Well, wait a minute. You were going to drain the swamp, buddy. I don't accept that kind of a phrasing.
Yeah. And you know, I think unfortunately he was getting a lot of bad advice from advisors. I gave a whole speech on this very topic, Sam, in 2018 that's now been seen by well over 500,000 people on the John Birch Society's YouTube channel. And, you know, I think it's a legitimate question. A lot of patriotic Americans, a lot of Christians, a lot of people in the constitutional movement looked at Donald Trump and weren't quite sure what to make of it. Is this guy for real, or is he planting us? In looking at what he did, I do believe he was sincere. I do believe he was well-motivated. I think he had some enormous blind spots. And I think, unfortunately, the swamp very quickly got their claws in him through the selection of advisors, through the selection of cabinet secretaries. And, you know, part of this is just the reality of politics. If Donald Trump had come in and nominated 15 great people to serve as his cabinet secretary, every one of them would have failed in the U.S. Senate, and he would have, you know, been left looking like a dog with a tail between his legs. So there were political realities that had to be dealt with. And of course, the media, even though the great majority of Americans realize the media is lying, they can't quite fathom yet how blatantly and how overtly the media lie. And so Donald Trump had to deal with that paradigm. But, you know, I still think he could have done a whole lot more than he did. I think it's unfortunate that he allowed this narrative to get hijacked, that he allowed these swamp creatures to stampede us in this direction. And frankly, right now, I'm a little bit concerned about his promotion of the vaccine. He may believe it's safe and effective. But in my own research, I think the jury's still out on that at best. And I've spoken with many medical professionals, highly credentialed, very prestigious medical people who've been leaders in their field, who've led major organizations. And you can find these all on our Rumble channel, et cetera, and on our website at thenewamerican.com, who say that, no, there are some very serious concerns about this. A lot of people are going to end up dead. And, frankly, I'm a little bit concerned about Donald Trump's promotion of this. But to his credit, he has said all along, this is a voluntary thing. We must never move beyond voluntary. If people choose not to take it, that's their prerogative. And, you know, so, yeah, there's it's kind of a mixed bag. But I really do wish Trump had pushed back more. And I'm very pleased now that DeSantis does seem to be becoming a little more rock solid in pushing back against the narrative and pushing back on the fake media too. He's become more and more bold, and I think we need to see a lot more of that, not just from our governor here in Florida, but from governors across the nation.
Well, in my opinion, if you want to take back the narrative, you start with facts. You simply say things like this. You know, you can't even prove the coronavirus exists because you have not isolated it. There is no known copy of the coronavirus that's been isolated, proving that it even exists and that we have the facts on the pattern that it presents. If you want to talk about science, there's where the science starts. Secondly, you can't prove that it's airborne either. You can have anecdotal evidence and anecdotal thoughts and opinions and beliefs, but you can't prove the virus exists and you can't prove it's airborne. Isn't that scientifically fact?
That's my understanding as well, yep. And
okay, how are you going to prove? And if you can't prove that, you can't say you're with the science.
Yep. It's true, Sam, and I think there's also very clear and compelling evidence that this was a bioweapon released by China, and that's why it's so difficult to understand. That's why it's so novel. That's why the structure of what they have been able to look at, which is, mind you, not the full entire virus that's supposed to be out there. But even from what we have been able to see, there are some very strange anomalies that only make sense in the context of gain-of-function research that was being performed at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And I spoke with a very intelligent doctor who's been studying this for a long time, who's been deeply involved in it, who's also very connected. I mean, he described it, I think, in a very powerful way that stuck with me ever since he said it. What we're dealing with here is very much like the iPhone. It was designed in America, and it was manufactured in China. And who were the people funding this research in China? Well, Dr. Fauci and the National Institutes of Health were right there at the top of the list. So we need to round up the suspects. We need to put them under oath. We need to find out who knew what, when, and we need to get to the bottom of this. And I really do think we need criminal charges, Sam. This is not just like a funny hoax or something, right? Livelihoods have been destroyed. People are dead. Liberties have been destroyed. Our Constitution is hanging by a thread. We need a thorough investigation of this. And I think anybody involved in deliberate deception, anybody involved in weaponizing biological agents needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
I concur completely. Not only can we not prove the virus exists because we can't isolate it, no one has an isolated copy of the virus. Secondly, you can't prove that it's airborne. We can't even prove that flu is airborne. That's the greatest suspicions from scientists. But it's not scientific fact. It's scientific speculation. But let's even make the discussion more poignant. The vaccine that they claim is not a vaccine, sir.
That's right. It's a very bizarre technology. And what it does is it coats messenger RNA, which is basically like instructions for the protein factories in your cells to start manufacturing proteins. And in this case, what we're told, at least, and I think very few people can actually confirm this for sure, we know also, incidentally, that there are hundreds of members of the Communist Chinese Party working in all of these big vaccine manufacturers, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, et cetera. But what it does is it tricks your cells. It sends these genetic instructions into your cells so that they start manufacturing the spike protein associated with this virus that is part of the reason why people are getting so sick. And if you listen to the scientists, if you listen to some of the most prestigious and highly educated experts in the world, including, by the way, many pro-vaccine individuals, such as Geert van der Bosch of Belgium, who's been working with Bill Gates and Gavi and so on for many years, this is a potential ticking time bomb that is going to essentially set off a catastrophe unprecedented in human history. So I'm not going to be taking one. I recommend that everybody do their research, and I think we need to be really wary. The people who are pushing this the hardest are the same people who have a long history, going back decades, of openly and proudly demanding that we have less people on this planet. Sorry, but I'm not going to let a bunch of neo-Malthusian quacks stick an unknown gene therapy agent into my arm. I mean, it's just simply crazy, Sam.
Now, when we talk about a gene therapy agent, let's be very clear. So it's not a vaccine. It's a gene therapy agent. It messes with the RNA in the body. It creates a man-made, engineered, what they claim to be a pattern that mimics or mocks the coronavirus enough to build antibodies to it. But that's not even true, because you don't build antibodies. What they're doing is coating the cells. It's not even a traditional vaccine. But it gets worse, because it's experimental. Although they claim it's safe and effective, that's the most blatant lie of all. Hold on, folks.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, live on your radio, wow, Alex Newman with me, thenewamerican.com, jbs.org, that's John Birch Society, doing a phenomenal job. He'll be speaking at the Red Pill Expo coming up in South Dakota, the start of June, redpillexpo.com to learn more about that. And Alex Newman, he's an author and a journalist, and he's put together an incredible video, The Very Dark Side of the COVID Plandemic, Serious Business. So I'm saying to you that not only is it not a vaccine, it's a gene therapy. It messes with your RNA. We don't know what the long-term effects are, and anybody who tells you that we do is lying to you, because we have not experimented with this on a mass scale in its current form factor. Now, you can say, wait a minute, Sam, they've done some previous RNA work, and they have a little bit of an idea what's going on. I understand. But I also understand you've never literally vaccinated the whole world with two or three or four form factors or vaccine candidates like this before. And you don't know what the long-term effects are, because you've only been messing with RNA and the coding of these genes, or the coding of these cells via these gene therapies, for a very, very short time, Alex. They don't know. And to say they do is a flat-out, dishonest, scientific lie.
That's right, Sam. And what's interesting, too, is the research that we do have, the studies and the tests that we do have, and I interviewed Dr. Lee Merritt for my show on The New American some months ago, and that video went absolutely viral. We've counted more than 5 million views on it across all platforms, but we know it's many more than that. She went into some of the animal testing and studies that they had done with these technologies years ago, and the reason why they abandoned them is because even though some of the animals did show slightly better results dealing with that specific virus, when they came into contact with other variants or natural mutations in that virus, they all ended up dead. And so we have a very serious potential problem on our hands here. And you're right. To be clear, people are being told very, very deceptively that this has been approved by the government, that this has been tested for safety and efficacy. In fact, the truth is much different. This has been approved for emergency use. It has what's called an emergency use authorization. That's very different than a regulatory approval by the FDA. I encourage people to look closely at their life insurance plans. There's a very good chance that if this vaccine kills you, if you fall over and die, and many, many people have already, we have the data on that that's trickling in already, and we know that only 1% or less of cases are actually reported to the CDC. If you keel over and die, there's a very good chance your life insurance won't pay it out. Why? Because this was never approved. It was only approved for emergency use. They also had to lie to get the emergency use authorization. They had to claim that there was no known treatment. That is not true. Hydroxychloroquine has shown phenomenal results in treating COVID-19.
And if you studied Dr. Corey's testimony before the Senate, Dr. Corey documented that ivermectin is one of the great key solutions as well. And he begged the Senate to have people dig into this, and they flat out ignored him.
Yep. That's because if there was any other treatment, then they could not have gotten their experimental so-called vaccines authorized for emergency use. So they had to claim that these things weren't legitimate solutions. So we have a real problem here. And again, I think this rises way above the level of just normal criminal activity. What we're dealing with here is a crime of monstrous proportions, a global crime that is going to cause, in my view, untold amounts of devastation. It already is. In fact, a good family member of mine, a very close family member of mine, took this idiotic vaccine by Pfizer. Less than 48 hours later, heart stopped, dropped, keeled over. Praise God, this person was in a medical facility, and so the doctors and the nurses were able to get him back. Had he not been there, he would have been dead. And I know of many
people... Hold on, what does he say about it now?
Well, after $1 million worth of tests, they couldn't figure out anything. And this is what's happened. When people are taking these vaccines and they're getting horrible side effects, or their hearts are stopping, or they're passing out, or they're getting allergic reactions, the hospitals are doing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of tests to try to come up with any possible excuse other than the vaccine, and a lot of times they're coming up with nothing. So it's time for people to do some research and quit trusting the proven liars in the government and in the media.
All right, there's a couple of headlines that I want to kind of hit on before we let Alex Newman go. There's a poll out now. They say half of correctional officers do not want COVID-19 vaccines. Health workers, correctional officers, people that are on front lines more than any other groups don't want to take these vaccines. Firemen, police officers, health workers, correctional officers, they all know, Alex.
Yep, they do. In Miami, in my hometown, more than half of the frontline doctors and nurses refused to take this shot from hell. So, people who are actually paying attention, people who are actually on the front lines, know better than to do this. Unfortunately, the people who are lining up to get their shots are the people who are glued to the boob tube and just sitting there, absorbing. It's like having a pipe pumping raw sewage directly into your brain. When you're watching CNN, when you're watching NBC or ABC or even Fox News, unfortunately, you might as well just have raw sewage pumped right into your brain. And these are the people that are going and lining up and doing what they're told in terms of getting the vaccine. The people who are doing their own research and who are actually looking into the data and the facts are almost universally coming to the conclusion that this is not something that they want to be part of, this massive global experiment.
And that's the problem. It is a global experiment. When we speak out and explain that it's an experiment, they try to say that we're lying, and they kind of come back and then lie and say, well, this thing's been approved. But yet, when you dig into the truth, you begin to understand that not only is it emergency passed, not approved, but it is an experiment. They have no real long-term evidence at all. And the fear is that the body will be deceived into creating a psychic storm against itself. Now, in Israel, they came out with a report. By the way, this is what got me shut down on Twitter. Alex, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So Israel came out with some leaders in Israel that are scientists and medical professionals, and they gave a report that said more people are dying from the COVID vaccine in Israel, elderly people. More elderly people are dying from the vaccine in Israel than from the COVID itself. And I dared to report on that report. It was in Life Science magazine. And I reported on that report, and that's what got me shut down by Twitter. They said that I was peddling fake news.
Yep, that sounds like the big tech companies. It's the same thing's been happening to us. We have been massively penalized over and over again, if not banned from multiple platforms, merely for speaking with some of the most reputable and highly credentialed doctors on the planet. And you think about the little techno geeks, nerds that are sitting behind their computer in Silicon Valley censoring us and deleting us. Do you think they have 12 years of medical studies underneath their belt? Do you think they have 40 years of experience as a practicing physician under their belt? Of course they don't, right? They're tech geeks. They're probably transgender weirdos with purple hair following instructions from a lunatic in charge of Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or whatever. This is very, very dangerous. And so that's one of the reasons I've been encouraging everybody to migrate away from the big tech platforms and migrate to places where free speech is respected. And also, bypass it completely. Share out the link to this radio show with your friends by email, with your family by email. Get a print subscription to the New American Magazine so that they can't censor it and it just comes straight to your door. We cannot depend on these totalitarians in Silicon Valley to be able to keep ourselves informed and to be able to have a civil discussion.
As they push for tyrannical global reset, ladies and gentlemen, Americans and people around the world are waking up. Here's a report from the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org, okay? And it says this, protests against COVID lockdowns flare up in 2021 around the world. They might even create a civil war or a massive uprising over this, the likes of which loss of life will be much greater than the coronavirus ever has handed us. Alex?
That's right. And if you look at the effects of the policies that have been implemented, Sam, we are heading toward catastrophe. They have murdered hundreds of thousands of small businesses. Huge numbers of people have committed suicide and have overdosed on drugs. Many churches are on the brink of implosion if they're not already permanently closed. The middle class is being absolutely vaporized. Power is being centralized in the biggest and most powerful corporations like Amazon and Walmart, while mom-and-pop businesses and middle-class-owned businesses are being strangled to death. And we're moving very quickly toward global totalitarianism. So that's what's at stake. And again, folks, if you don't start pushing back now, you may not have a chance to push back in the future. Now's the time to get off the couch. Now's the time to get involved. There may not be another time, folks.
This is serious, folks. We don't mean to be alarmists. In fact, we're criticizing the alarmists who are doubling down in fear, like Joe Biden, like this whacked out CDC director, Rochelle Walensky. Okay, they're the ones saying they believe that there's a pending doom because of the pandemic. But they lie to promote this global narrative of tyranny. I don't fear them. I have faith in my God. But I do know Amen. God expects we the people to study, to get educated, and defend the sacred cause of liberty. And what we need to do is turn to God, family, and country for solutions, and we need to reject this dishonest narrative. And the more of us that do so, by our greater numbers, shall we see success. That's where I have my hope and my faith, Alex Newman.
Yeah, amen. I couldn't agree more. And that's what we need to do in these times. We need to turn to God. We need to ask for his guidance and his protection. We need to open up the Bible where we have instructions for what we're supposed to be doing. In my role as a journalist, I've always gone to Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them, expose them. That's what I like to do all day, every day. And so find out what your role is in God's army and get busy. And that starts with prayer, and that starts with reading the Word. And then after that, it is followed by action. Everybody's got something to do. And really, with God by our side, we are completely unstoppable. And so I encourage everybody, get on your knees and pray, open up your Bible, and then get involved.
When the government's afraid of the people, ladies and gentlemen, we have liberty. When the people are afraid of the government, we have tyranny. What narrative are we going to set going forward for ourselves and our children and our grandchildren? That's really the key here, is that it's time now. You can't say, well, politics isn't my thing. Well, I don't like to make it uncomfortable. It's awkward in a store when they want me to put on a mask and I don't have one. And I don't want to, you got to step back from that, folks, and say there's a greater cause, the sacred cause of liberty at stake here. And you know what? It's time to set aside your hesitations. And it's time to say, get outside of your comfort zone. Because if you don't, well, none of us are going to be in our comfort zone, Alex.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And if you're not willing to do it for your own sake, do it for the sake of your children and your grandchildren and your neighbor's children and your nieces and your nephews. Guys, it's crunch time. The insiders are running through the streets naked to the finish line, and now's our chance to either stop them or bow down and lick the boot on our neck. So those are your choices, folks. We can have a new period of liberty and prosperity. And godly morality and good culture, or our civilization can decline and tyranny comes.
As for me and my house, I will trust my God. Thanks, Alex.
Amen. Thanks, Sam.
We'll talk soon. There he goes, Alex Newman, the John Birch Society. He writes for thenewamerican.com. That's thenewamerican.com. Also, JBS.org. That stands for the John Birch Society. Doing a phenomenal job putting out a video for Red Pill Expo. Check that out, too, redpillexpo.com. I'm Sam Bushman, libertyroundtable.com. My syndicated radio network, lovingliberty.net. Donate today. We the people can restore the republic, but you got to get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? God save the republic.